Chapter 7, Nephrology. Topic 6, Nephritic and Nephrotic Syndrome. In exploring the causes of glomerulonephritis, particularly within the context of nephrotic syndrome, it's essential to understand the diversity and complexity of this group of kidney diseases. Each subtype has unique key features and associations that play a critical role in diagnosis and management. Membranous glomerulonephritis stands out due to its associations with various systemic diseases and exposures. It can be linked to viral infections, such as hepatitis B and C, bacterial infections like syphilis, autoimmune conditions including systemic lupus, erythematosus, and rheumatoid arthritis, as well as solid organ malignancies of the lung, breast, and colon. Additional associations include exposure to certain drugs like gold and penicillamine, and conditions leading to coagulopathy such as renal vein thrombosis. Membranoproliferative glomerulonephritis is another complex subtype associated with conditions that range from sickle cell disease to chronic bacterial infections like endocarditis. It also shares associations with hepatitis B and C, cryoglobulinemia, and systemic lupus erythematosus. A notable subtype of this condition is type 2 membranoproliferative glomerulonephritis, also known as dense deposit disease, characterized by antibodies against complement component 3 convertase leading to persistent activation of the complement system. Next, focal segmental glomerulosclerosis is associated with several risk factors, including sickle cell disease, infection with the human immunodeficiency virus, heroin use, and being of African American or Hispanic ethnicity. These associations point to both genetic and environmental factors in the development of this condition. Minimal change disease is particularly noteworthy for being the most common cause of nephrotic syndrome in children. It may also be associated with Hodgkin's lymphoma. Its responsiveness to steroids and excellent prognosis differentiate it from other forms of glomerulonephritis. Lastly, Alport syndrome is a genetic condition characterized by defective type 4 collagen. It follows an X-linked inheritance pattern and presents with a triad of progressive symptoms: blindness due to anterior lenticonus, sensorineural hearing loss, and renal dysfunction. When discussing nephritic syndrome, it is pivotal to explore the spectrum of conditions that precipitate this group of symptoms, characterized by hematuria, hypertension, and oliguria, reflecting inflammation and damage within the glomeruli. The etiologies of nephritic syndrome span from post-infectious processes to complex systemic diseases. Firstly, post-streptococcal glomerulonephritis is a quintessential example of nephritic syndrome that typically follows a streptococcal skin infection or pharyngitis by approximately 5 to 14 days. This condition is marked by the presence of anti-streptolysin O and anti-deoxyribonuclease B antibodies, alongside reduced complement levels, reflecting the immune response to the preceding infection. The management of post-streptococcal glomerulonephritis involves antibiotics if the streptococcal infection is still present at the time of diagnosis. IgA nephropathy, known as Berger's disease, stands as the most common cause of nephritic syndrome globally. It often manifests with gross hematuria soon after an upper respiratory tract infection, a hallmark that aids in its identification. Unlike post-streptococcal glomerulonephritis, complement levels in IgA nephropathy typically remain normal, and the diagnosis is further supported by renal biopsy showing mesangial deposition of IgA, cryoglobulinemia, particularly associated with hepatitis C virus infection, presents with a broader spectrum of symptoms, including vasculitis characterized by arthralgias, palpable purpura, neuropathy, and renal involvement. The diagnosis is supported by elevated serum cryoglobulins and reduced complement levels. The management of cryoglobulinemia involves addressing the underlying hepatitis C infection. Goodpasture's disease, another form of nephritic syndrome, is an autoimmune condition characterized by antibodies against the glomerular and alveolar basement membrane, specifically targeting type 4 collagen. This leads to a combination of renal dysfunction and progressive lung involvement, manifesting as cough and hemoptysis. The diagnosis is typically confirmed by the finding of linear deposits on immunofluorescence microscopy during renal biopsy. Management of Goodpasture's disease involves a combination of corticosteroids, cyclophosphamide, and possibly plasmapheresis to remove circulating antibodies. Next, systemic lupus erythematosus is a multi-organ systemic autoimmune disease known for its ability to present in numerous ways, including both nephrotic and nephritic syndromes. The renal involvement can vary from membranous glomerulonephritis, which is typically associated with nephrotic syndrome, to rapidly progressive glomerulonephritis, more commonly linked with nephritic syndrome. The management of lupus nephritis involves immunosuppressive therapies tailored to the severity of the renal disease. Granulomatosis with polyangiitis, formerly known as Wegener's granulomatosis, is a form of necrotizing granulomatous vasculitis that affects small to medium-sized vessels. It can lead to a wide range of symptoms, including those affecting the respiratory system and the kidneys, leading to progressive renal dysfunction. The presence of cytoplasmic antineutrophil cytoplasmic antibodies, CANCA, is a hallmark of this condition, and treatment typically involves corticosteroids in combination with cyclophosphamide. Polyarteritis nodosa is another form of vasculitis, affecting medium-sized vessels and often presenting without pulmonary involvement. It can cause a wide range of symptoms, including abdominal pain due to mesenteric vasculitis, polyneuropathy, and skin changes such as livido reticularis. The association with hepatitis B infection highlights the potential for infectious triggers in some vasculitides. Diagnosis may involve PANCA testing, mesenteric angiography, and biopsy. Management generally includes corticosteroids and cyclophosphamide to reduce inflammation and vasculitis progression. Churg-Strauss syndrome, now more commonly referred to as eosinophilic granulomatosis with polyangiitis, shares features with both granulomatosis with polyangiitis and polyarteritis nodosa, but is distinguished by asthma, eosinophilia, and the presence of paranuclear antineutrophil cytoplasmic antibodies, PANCA. Henoch-Schönlein purpura, also known as IgA vasculitis, predominantly affects children and adolescents. This small vessel vasculitis is marked by systemic deposition of IgA, leading to symptoms such as abdominal pain, arthralgias, and palpable purpura on the lower extremities. The condition can also lead to renal involvement, necessitating careful monitoring and management to prevent long-term damage. Rapidly progressive glomerulonephritis, characterized by the presence of crescents on light microscopy, represents a severe form of glomerulonephritis with a rapid progression toward end-stage renal disease. It may occur as an idiopathic condition or secondary to other diseases, including granulomatosis with polyangiitis, systemic lupus erythematosus, antiglomerular basement membrane disease, and microscopic polyangiitis. The rapid progression of this condition necessitates immediate intervention to preserve renal function and prevent irreversible damage. Amyloidosis involves the systemic deposition of abnormal proteins leading to multi-organ dysfunction, including the kidneys, which can present with nephrotic syndrome among other renal manifestations. The diagnosis is confirmed through biopsy, showing apple-green birefringence under polarized light following Congo red staining. Treatment focuses on the underlying cause and may include medications to decrease amyloid protein synthesis or promote its clearance. Diabetes mellitus can lead to diabetic nephropathy, a complication of diabetic microvascular disease, which is a leading cause of end-stage renal disease worldwide. Management includes strict glycemic control and the use of angiotensin-converting enzyme inhibitors or angiotensin receptor blockers. Fabry's disease, a lysosomal storage disorder due to alpha-galactosidase A deficiency, presents with a variety of symptoms, including renal dysfunction. Enzyme replacement therapy is central to the treatment of this X-linked recessive disease. In summary, the kidneys can be affected by a wide array of systemic diseases, resulting in nephritic or nephrotic syndrome, each with unique pathophysiological mechanisms, clinical presentations, and management strategies. Before we move on to the next subsection, I want to ensure we understand the difference between nephritic and nephrotic syndrome. Nephritic syndrome is characterized primarily by the inflammation of the glomerular apparatus. This inflammation is typically a consequence of immune complex deposition within the glomerular apparatus, which can lead to a cascade of renal dysfunction. The hallmark of nephritic syndrome is a degree of proteinuria that is less than 3.5 grams per 24 hours, which distinguishes it from its nephrotic counterpart. Associated clinical features include hypertension, hematuria, oliguria, and the presence of red blood cell casts in the urine, all of which signal the underlying glomerular inflammation and reduced kidney function. In contrast, Nephrotic syndrome is defined by a disruption of the glomerular basement membrane, leading to a significant increase in its permeability. This disruption allows for the loss of vital proteins from the bloodstream into the urine, including albumin, antithrombin 3, immunoglobulins, transferrin, cholecalciferol binding protein, and thyroxine binding globulin. The defining feature of nephrotic syndrome is a degree of proteinuria that is greater than 3.5 grams per 24 hours. This loss of proteins manifests in clinical features such as hyperlipidemia and increased susceptibility to bacterial infections due to the loss of immunoglobulins, hypercoagulability, most notably presenting as renal vein thrombosis due to the loss of clotting factors, hypoalbuminemia, and widespread edema, also known as anasarca. In urine microscopy, fatty casts may be observed, reflecting the severe proteinuria and lipiduria characteristic of this condition. The treatment strategies for nephritic and nephrotic syndromes diverge based on their underlying etiologies and associated complications. For nephritic syndrome, the primary approach involves treating the underlying cause of the glomerular inflammation. This may include, but is not limited to, the use of steroids to reduce inflammation, diuretics to manage fluid balance, antihypertensive medications to control blood pressure, and in some cases the use of statins and anticoagulants. The treatment for nephrotic syndrome also targets the underlying cause, but places a greater emphasis on managing the consequences of severe protein loss. This may include the administration of antibiotics to prevent or treat infections, anticoagulants to mitigate the risk of thrombosis, and medications to control hyperlipidemia and edema. The last subsection will be a review of proteinuria. Transient proteinuria represents a condition where there is a benign and minimal presence of protein in the urine, lacking a discernible underlying etiology. This form of proteinuria is often encountered in clinical practice and is usually considered a benign variation. The management of transient proteinuria primarily involves observation and monitoring. A follow-up with repeat urinalysis is recommended before initiating any further workup, as transient proteinuria often resolves spontaneously without the need for intervention. Orthostatic proteinuria, on the other hand, occurs specifically when the individual is in an upright position. It is a condition primarily seen in adolescents and young adults, and is characterized by the presence of protein in the urine that occurs or worsens when the person is standing and improves or resolves when lying down. To manage orthostatic proteinuria, it is essential to measure urine protein levels in both upright and supine positions to confirm the diagnosis. This type of proteinuria typically does not indicate serious underlying renal disease and may resolve on its own over time. Overflow proteinuria is a result of the overproduction of specific types of proteins due to underlying pathology, leading to the excretion of these proteins in the urine. Conditions such as multiple myeloma, which leads to the production of light chains, rhabdomyolysis, which results in the release of myoglobin, and hemolysis, leading to the presence of free hemoglobin in the urine, can all cause overflow proteinuria. The management of overflow proteinuria focuses on treating the underlying etiology. For instance, in the case of multiple myeloma, treatment may involve chemotherapy, immunotherapy, or stem cell transplantation, whereas the management of rhabdomyolysis includes aggressive hydration, and in some cases, dialysis to prevent kidney damage.